Hi, it's Nikki and welcome to Flower Podcast. As I promised, I would give you an update on what was happening in the import sector here in Australia. On Friday the 5th of April, I travelled to Canberra and I was part of the Daiwa Industry Consultation Meeting where I got to hear firsthand exactly what the department's concerns were, what they were trying to achieve and what their next steps were going to be. This is a report on that meeting and my basic takeaways and notes from it. And I will try and do justice to all the speakers and information given as I will cover off on the things that struck me from my notes as I read back on them. The session was opened by Dr. Marion Healy, First Assistant Secretary for Biosecurity in the Plant Division, and set the tone for the afternoon. It was a very pleasant afternoon. At no stage did I get the feeling that the people from the department were simply just on a rubber stamp exercise, and I made that be known to them at the end. I really felt like when I looked them all in the eye, there was one person that I sort of have question marks about on the panel at the end, but everyone in the department were genuine in their willingness, wanting to find a mutually beneficial way through that met the departmental guidelines for secure biosecurity, but also would try and go towards alleviating industry stress and making things easier. So I've got to say well done to the department. I felt like it was a valuable day. I challenged a couple of people about budget constraints, etc., and all the answers were given were honest, open. They weren't politicized, as in politics answers, not giving you a straight answer or trying to cover anything. So I was really impressed, actually, by all the people acting on behalf of the department, which was nice. Dr. Marion Healy opened it up and set the tone of what they were trying to achieve as a department. And her words were they wanted to modernize our import conditions. And their objective was to protect the Australian plants and biosecurity and allowing safe trade in both import and export. Set the tone. Now, everything revolves around the ALOP, which is the appropriate level of protection. And again, I knew nothing about this before I went in because this was my first meeting. I'm late to the party on these industry consultations. I've been doing it through committee and sponsorship. But the ALOP actually states that they want to have a very low level of pest pickup, if you like, occurrence of pest, but they're not aiming for a zero occurrence of pest on import shipments. That's a very key point, because if you're aiming for zero, you'd be dreaming in La La Land. You'd be living in La La Land, but a very low ALOP means that they just want very low pest numbers, not zero. She also went on she handed over actually to Sarah Bruce and also Alison, from the nursery director, and Sarah Bruce from the PPC, and they outlined that it's a managed risk process. They want to ensure that biosecurity risks are managed, that the ALOP is met, that the critical control points are in place, and that's their approach with control points, sort of based on a HACCP process. And one thing they outline, which really stood out to me, was they're trying to avoid a single point of failure. Now, I've been a very vocal critic of saying, listen, why don't you just allow fumigation on shore? If it's picked up here, then we'll do it. They're trying to take a multifaceted approach, both with production house controls, and then also, obviously, treatment and remediation controls through fumigation, etc., through that way. So it's really nice to hear that it's a multifaceted approach and not as one-dimensional as has been brought out in conversations around the place. It was covered off that we've been bringing imports into Australia for 45 years, so it's a mature industry because we have been importing for 45 years. And in the past, we did rely on one control point, but that's not the way of the future. They covered off that Malaysia, Singapore and China previously had pathways, which clear pathways, but that relied on one control point. And of course, in 2017, they reviewed the agricultural competitiveness white paper. They looked at the failure rates. They found thrips, mites, and aphids. So then on the 1st of March in 2018, it changed, and that has the framework on what we're dealing with now. In 2018, they moved to multiple control points. They had an emphasis on offshore controls. Obviously, that's, you know, the production is done offshore. And treatment only if pests are found on arrival. Now, they're using also a systems-based approach to try and sort out the problem. Or they're going, obviously, to a device, sort of methyl bromide, or I think it's called chlorophosphine. I didn't catch the name of the gas. So there were so many notes I was taking, and I've probably got that wrong. I'm gonna do a podcast with a couple of the major importers next, and I'll clarify that when we speak with them. They did go and labour the points that if pests are identified, will they receive a remedial action. So that means the pest has to be identified before they can direct an action on import. Now that's important too, because that then goes around the conversations and challenges of, well, is the lab open 7 days a week? Why can't we get lab results Saturday, Sunday for what type of pest it is, etc. Next to talk was Alison Roach. It was about a risk analysis. The part one of this process, they're looking at thrips, mites and aphids. Part two will be bugs, moths and flies. Now, they're also basing their results on 18 years of departmental data. So the department was at pains to point out that they were basing this on historical data as well, which of course they've got a lot of data, which is great. They also were considering how likely the pest is to establish itself when they're looking at those groupings of pests. And then in particular, they're focusing on 15 species of flowers and foliage from 19 countries. So that goes into the draft PRA. In 2018, they said that interception numbers increased, and it's after the non-voluntary fumigation change, which is interesting, right? In 2017, 80% of consignments found live pests. So I'm reading my notes because I want to make sure I get this factually correct for you. In 2017, 80% of consignments found live pests. Now remember, the department is not going for zero, but they're going for very low. That is the number. Went through some more metrics and things, looking at FIDO certificates, the talking about moving the treatment, etc., onshore instead of offshore, but of course they're looking at multiple points, not just one single point of failure. And there are three measures as part of that implementation point. I really like, goes back to that point, they don't want one point of failure, they want multiple things trying to stave off any pests coming on shore. So it sort of makes sense. They also said they don't want the pests getting to the front door and they're going, oh, pests, because they're already here. Makes total sense. I mean, how many times in reality did I look at the planes and as soon as the doors open, I go, well, there's any pests that were on there gone. Like, what's the point of going through the whole pest process thing now? So, also, the stats that were given, 49% of consignments had actionable pests. But how does the 5 out of 70 unidentified number work? So out of 70 shipments, the data that our consultation group had, 5 were unidentified out of the 70. Only 5 out of 70 were identified. So how would that number work? There's a big challenge on the identification of pests, and it is quite a specialized skill. So the department's lab was really talked about quite a lot in this discussion. It was also mentioned that from July 1, growers would have to apply for an import permit because the instances of live insects that were being found were going up, not going down. So that is going to mean that there's going to be tighter import regulations from July 1. The main countries of failure were not openly disclosed because they have political sensitivities. But I can tell you that countries like South America, countries in the South American region, and also Kenya have failed miserably, whereas countries like Malaysia and Thailand actually were coming up relatively clean. So that's interesting, isn't it? That means roses are going to be under further pressure. We then heard from Nathan Rhodes, Bill Crow, and Dr. David Nell. They're part of the inspections group and also the lab. They went through and basically said, look, how they decide on how many things to sample and how big the shipments are, etc., etc. How many seeds can be found in a shipment before they have to process? Only 2 maximum. So we got some hard data there, which is good. Also, it pains to say that they had a national workforce that can be deployed around the different ports so that they can meet peak industry requirements, which was really nice. They also liaised with a CCG, the client contract group. The CCG was part of that, which is the client contact group that actually talks to business and then feeds back into the inspection people, and they move their assets around based on those conversations. The standard service delivery is 3 working days for an inspection, and the national standard for inspection is just over an hour. So that's where I asked, well, look, you know, 3 days and 4 hours is far too long. The department is hitting an average of 4 days. So again, I accused the department of failing in their SLA target by 25%. And they then had some discussions about, well, they were constantly reviewing funding and looking at inspectors, etc. So good conversation. We weren't expecting to solve, you know, funding issues in one meeting, but it was nice to see the head of inspections sort of openly disclosing that, yeah, there was some funding pressures on inspections. Weekends were an issue, but it also then had further implications on lab qualified staff, cost of operating, can they be on standby just in case we feel like it. Like, there's some really good valid commercial questions that we can discuss with the department. They also went into a lot of chemist technical speak, which my eyes sort of glazed over because I'm not that deep into it. But when they talked about pest diagnosis and the entomologists with the preliminary IDs, they say they normally get the ID within 2 hours. And they were talking about Tetranychus and Atotetranitis. God, I think I've murdered that. But there was discussion around that and whether the strains were tested to see whether they were chemically resistant, to work out whether it was actually worth treating them anyway, which was an interesting discussion. Alana Pittard from the Victorian Farmers Federation, which Flowers Victoria fit into, then gave a presentation, talked a lot about protecting Australia's biosecurity and preventing isn't it terrible when you can't read your own writing? Preventing unmanaged pests coming in. The VFF, they agree, they see flowers as high risk. The pests will be across the eastern seaboard in 5 days if one gets introduced, so they feel like flowers is a contagion carrier, like if something's going to come in, because flowers get distributed so far and wide so quickly, because we are so perishable, that is a real concern. They say that if it's incorrectly disposed in compost, well, then it's introduced into the soil. The VFF wants zero incursion rate. Incursion means when pests actually get and pose a problem, which of course everyone's zero. And they want country of origin labelling because of the transshipping that goes through Holland and because consumers are going to make a better choice. I don't agree with VFF on that. Country of origin labelling is irrelevant other than for proud Australian growers if they want to push it as a marketing angle. Some are already doing it, but they're not getting better uptake from what I can work out. And they also say there should be a biosecurity levy used to increase infrastructure, which really it's a user pay system at the moment, and they charge more than Telstra. So I can't see why there is not enough money to perform the tasks that are needed. This is then followed on by Lynn O'Connell, the Department Secretary for Biosecurity, talked about regulating imports into Australia. Highlighted that, you know, they're the regulator and must minimise the impact the imported goods can have on Australia. We've got to engage in safe trade, and we all say, yeah, of course we do. That's exactly why, how good operators operate and what we're all about. They also say that they've got to regulate under the Biosecurity Act of 2015 and meet the members of the WTO, meet the obligations there. The emphasis is to minimise risk, not take it to zero. So they do. They're saying that they're trying to be commercial by saying, we're not saying zero, we're saying minimise, and really went back to that ALOP, the appropriate level of protection. Highlighted the balanced need of protection versus trade. So also from biosecurity. So again, highlighting that they see that it is a fine line that they're walking. It was highlighted that mail, cargo and passengers pose a much greater quarantine threat biosecurity risk Then flowers, but that's a side issue because there's a lot of money and resources being put into detections from those sort of entries and avenues. She led on to say that she sees that there seems to be a trend of people who are trying to circumvent the biosecurity levels. That's worrying. She may have been referring to a case that is currently ongoing where a private citizen and business owner allegedly had some dealings with a department staff member in Victoria, and that is under current criminal investigation, from what I understand. So there are actions afoot, and the department take that very seriously, as was voiced openly when the concern was raised by a discussion participant. On July 1, the department will remove some countries' abilities to manage and detect pests on their end. And they, again, she highlighted and said, look, it's about pre-border, border, and post-border detection. It's got to be a multi-layered approach, not just one point of failure. They also said, look, the Beal Review in 2008 then influenced the 2015 Act, which we currently have. So that's pretty good. And of course, they're trying to mitigate pest incursions. So well, that's just a paraphrase summary of what we already know. So all on the right page there. They highlighted and said, look, they've got to act with the appropriate level of governance. Appropriate level, I think, is the important words that they used, which shows some sensitivities and a nod to commercial reality. They also said that we see our role as we meeting the 11 important country requirements. We see our role as we meeting the important country requirements. Look, you'd expect me to edit this out for you. I'm reading my own writing. I've put it in punctuation marks. It's not 11, you muppet. We see our role as we are meeting the import country requirements. So that's also talking about import and export out into the other countries, because the questions were raised about, well, if Australia's such a tough stance, what's going to stop other countries from just doing the same to our imports, exports there? Lynn O'Connell did say that she is upset that after a year there's been no improvement from a lot of countries and wants to see a reduction of pest load. Fair enough. If you're not seeing a trend down, then something's not working. Robin Cleland is an Assistant Secretary, Plant Import Operations. She gave a presentation about interception of pests, whether they were dangerous or not, and was just outlining and saying, look, importers are going to have to apply for a permit from July 1. Personally, I think that's a great idea because it is a wild, wild west scenario at the moment. It's look, out of the 7,627 arrivals, 23% of them had pests. That means that 1,754 shipments had a pest on it that was live. So the number of 7,627 drills down to 1,754. What are the quarantine risks associated with that 1,754 number? That's something that we don't know, and they don't have the answer to at the moment. So that is the summary of the discussions that were had in Canberra. And then it was opened up for Q&A. I'm sorry I muffed some of my own reading of the notes, but for the sake of just getting the information out there, I'm not going to edit it. I'm just going to let it go. To paraphrase it all, you've got the local growers upset because the importers have been having a field day in the past, apparently. And through some actions of some individuals, you know, one rotten apple does not taint the whole apple crop. So the local growers' conjecture, whilst may be founded in some truth as they see it, I'm not there to argue whether it's true or not. I think they need, with respect, just to go, okay, that horse is bolted. It's 2019 and we're talking about what are the rules going forward. So I think constructive rule making moving forward has to be the way to go. The department, by bringing in licensing from July 1, will help streamline the countries, the growers, and also the importers that they work with. I think it's a smart move. normally I'm one for less regulation, not more, but I think this is an area that more heavily regulated should see a path to commercial reality that meets all the objectives of the biosecurity and the ALOPs fully. So I think that's a great move. Look, being the department would be incredibly hard, right? You've got to find that balance between, and all it is risk management, between biosecurity and through and trade. And the sense that I got from that meeting on the Friday was that the department was listening, they were keen to work with industry, they understood that there were challenges, they were happy to do further reviews, they were happy to look at increasing staff numbers on weekends, etc. I got a good feeling out of that. When I was looking them in the eye and when I was talking to a few department heads at the end, I did not get disingenuous feelings. I did not get that this was a rubber stamp exercise. I even asked them directly about that and they all sort of said, no, we actually want to make sure we get this right. So hats off to them for that. There is still the overhanging problem of shipment failure rates. The use of gases overseas is not methyl bromide here, so we're not going to kill all those predatory mites, etc., that we're trying to eliminate. So there's some problems there. So to truly understand what's going on further, we're going to have some conversation with some of the key importers and get their take on what their view is and what they think the solutions are. So that's what will happen next. On the next podcast, you will have two importers in the game. You will have Arda Broesen from All In Season, who is a direct importer, predominant lines out of South America. And we will also hear from Raj from Flower Flow in New South Wales, whose family international operations are actually one of the largest rose growers in the world and the largest in Kenya, Rajpal Baines. So look forward to that. Keep your eye out on that. That will drop soon. Once we get into the nuts and bolts of what they're experiencing and what it means to them, I think will help paint a clearer picture. What I've aimed to provide you today is just a summary of what that meeting was in Canberra. Again, apologies for fluffing around some of my writing, but that is the rundown of what happened. And the overall feeling in that room was, well, there is positivity and a real desire to get something that works. And I've got to say, it's much better than a department that simply just says no in a department that says no imports from July 1. So well done to the department. I look forward to a mutually interesting and beneficial working relationship to make sure that we have a commercial infrastructure that meets our obligations and keeps Australia safe, but also sees us having a strong international trade.